Coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You ever think we're going to get any alternative energy sources ever? Maybe they just don't want us to. We'll be back with Dr. Stephen Greer in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Stephen Greer. Stephen, the point I wanted to make before the top of the hour is if these puppet masters, no matter who they may be, are there, it doesn't matter who is in office because they're still going to pull strings.
Well, of course they're going to pull strings, but it's one thing if the puppet master is pulling it from behind the scenes covertly versus whether or not they've been able to get completely direct control of the agencies of the executive branch of government. The other thing to remember is that we the people have to keep these guys on the straight and narrow and keep them honest and, if at all possible, be alert to what they're doing. Remember what Eisenhower said. He said only an alert citizenry who would be active in watching could prevent these excesses. And if you read his speech, the last speech Eisenhower gave to the nation when he left office in January of 1961, he made that point very forcefully. And I think that that's the point I'm making, is that we have to be vigilant that, I've never been involved in partisan politics. I don't like politics. But the fact of the matter is the executive branch of the government is very powerful. Now, it only has the power that the person in that position is willing to exercise. Now, for example, in the case of President Clinton, he had the power, but he was afraid to use it. A good friend of his, point blank, came to my home and said, we're afraid that if the president does what you're recommending, he'll end up like Jack Kennedy. And I burst out laughing. I literally burst out. I thought the guy was joking because this was back in 94. And he said, no, we're not joking. And, of course, I was stunned. I said, you have to be kidding. And this is a very close friend of President Clinton. And I said, well, look, I'm a country doctor in Virginia. I'm here in an emergency department. Here's what I found. He's the president. The buck stops there. But the people have to watch what's happening with the buck. And does it actually make its way to that point, or is it being hijacked partway in? In this case, you have a situation where you have a U.S. president whose administration are filled with leaders of this sort of cabal that are part of the military, industrial, oil, energy complex that have kept this stuff secret and have kept us on the path that we're on. So I think that this is something, again, whether or not W has extensive knowledge of it, I'm pretty sure he doesn't because I know people who are close to him, but that's what's happened, and it's a tragedy, and I don't think it's going to be fixed. Now, let's say that another person comes in there, but his administration will not be filled with those sort of operatives directly. It'll be at a greater distance and with more difficulty to move those sort of agendas forward. That's the point I'm making. Now, I'm not making any other points at all about political issues, but if people ask, and you did ask, what is going on, who's behind this and why, that is a big part of the agenda. And it has infiltrated many agencies and, unfortunately, the political process like it had never been infiltrated before. And that's
isn't this, though, a worldwide problem for everybody on this planet?
It is absolutely transnational. And, of course, the United States is a key player in it. But remember, the agenda that has been operating, even in the 50s and 60s, I have folks who have assured me that there were covert programs in the United States working with the Soviet Union during the worst days of the Cold War cooperatively on these same issues. So this has been something that's been managed off the radar screen in a very shadowy way. But that shadowy sort of super government has now emerged into the legitimate government.
Well, see, but
it's metastasized there. It's a very dangerous thing.
Let's go back, though. Since really 1947, during Roswell, where disclosure has never come.
That's right. That was Truman, remember.
And it kept building and building and building.
Right.
My point is that it doesn't matter who gets elected. Disclosure is going to come only if people continue to come forward.
Correct.
And force.
But at a certain point, we need to be sure that the sort of really scary agendas that have a strong, quite frankly, eschatological component to it are not overly empowered. And I'm telling you, they have been overly empowered in the last 4 years, worse than in the previous 50 all put together. So we have to be careful. And this is a subject that doesn't get talked about in political circles. People don't want to talk about it. And frankly, I don't like politics. But the fact is, we have got to be, as Eisenhower said, the citizenry have to be alert to the risks to our democracy from these sort of things happening. And it has happened tragically. It has been empowered greatly in the last few years. And I think that the people out here who are listening to this have to understand that there are consequences. A lot of people say, oh, it doesn't matter who you vote for. Well, it most certainly does if there's things like this at stake. For example, there are members of Congress, both sides of the aisle over the course of history that I know of, who have been involved in these very shadowy and rogue operations. For example, a Congressman Brown of California, who was a Democrat, was very heavily involved, and I have witnesses who place him at a secret facility being involved with a former Secretary of Defense on these things. On the other hand, there are current people in the current Congress. Now, you know, a lot of people always say, well, Dr. Greer, who are you talking about? You're so vague. And if I get specific, then they get pissed off. So, you know, it's like what Brian O'Leary, my friend who's the Apollo astronaut, said, you know, the truth will set you free, but first it might piss you off. The fact of the matter is, much of this stuff is going on in almost plain sight, but people haven't connected the dots of what this agenda is. And the agenda, as you point out correctly, it is transnational, and it has spanned many decades. But it's also been greatly empowered by the current structure and administration. So this is something that is worrisome to me. As someone who's completely an independent, nonpartisan.
Well, you don't sound like it, Stephen.
I am. I mean, nobody
would believe that.
Well, it's because they don't understand. You know, it's like when someone says, is it a partisan issue? Well, it happens to be involved in the political process, so how do you avoid that? You know, I mean, I don't think Dwight Eisenhower's son is an anti-Republican partisan at all, but he's concerned. There are things happening that should be of great concern.
Yeah, but since Eisenhower, we've had, what, 9 presidents? If you count them all up?
No, I'm talking about Eisenhower's son.
No, I know that, but I'm saying since Dwight Eisenhower, we've had 9 presidents, okay? Have any of them helped to fully disclose, for example, one of the things you were investigating, and that's UFOs? Not one.
That's right, and this has been believe me, this is an equal opportunity assessment of where the problem is. It's two areas. One, it's like the sins of omission. I hate to use that term, but you know, in the case of the Clinton administration, in my opinion, they were negligent in taking charge of this matter and doing the right thing, as have many other administrations who bumped up against this and then backed off. Now, that's very different, and that's a matter of courage and what I call real leadership, the kind of leadership a man that I greatly admire, John McCain, speaks about, that kind of courage. Now, that's very different than empowering folks who are actively involved in promoting that agenda, an agenda that is harming the world and harming U.S. national security.
But they're all doing that. That's my point. My point is that none of them has done anything to help.
Well, it's one thing not to help. It's another thing to actively hurt. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's one thing if I'm a doctor and I pass a wreck on the road and I don't stop and help. That's terrible, of course, and I always stop personally. But it's another thing to actively cause the wreck. You see what I'm saying? So that's, and it's a significant difference. It's not an inconsequential thing. But ultimately, the people are going to have to learn who are involved, what corporations, what interest groups, and what agendas are operating in order to get their minds around how to fix the problem. And, you know, one of the things that has been a really frightening development that my friends who are in the conservative wing of the Republican Party, and I don't mean the religious right, but the old-fashioned conservative wing like Barry Goldwater, has been the hijacking of many of the agendas from folks who are really trying to push almost a theocracy.
Well,
a sort of
I think what you're trying to say, and you haven't said it yet, so I'm going to paraphrase you, is that this current president has surrounded himself with the wrong people.
Yes, and he's been ill-served. I said that earlier. He's been tragically ill-served.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, for example, with Halliburton, for example,
right,
where now the FBI is investigating allegations of a whistleblower because of all these atrocities that are going on. And so, you know, and I don't want to dwell on the political end anymore, especially several days before a national election.
Right. But these are the kinds of issues that always come out when... with the Halliburton thing. But, you know, this kind of corruption is endemic, unfortunately, in the system. And the system people have got to be aware. You asked earlier, why are so many of these military guys coming forward? And these are the one I just shared with you. He opened by saying, it is my patriotic duty to do this. These are good men and women who understand that the things that are happening are harming not only the world, but specifically the United States of America that they have risked their lives to serve. And I think that people have to be aware that there's an enormous amount at stake, and that unless we do change directions, we're going to end up further down this path that's quite disastrous.
Well, it's probably got to be more than just a change of direction, Stephen, because it's obvious that no administration, for example, is going to help support getting alternative energy. They can be saying this for years. I mean, I remember Jimmy Carter back in the 70s saying, you know, we've got to change all this. Nothing's happened. It's been 30 years.
Well, it was upended in the 80s. But the point is, see, here's the other point. Let's say that Kerry gets in there. I'm an equal opportunity, you know, let's put our feet to the fire. These are people who want to be our leaders. Let's demand that they lead. If Kerry gets in there and he stays on the same path and doesn't support serious research into the zero point area, into new propulsion systems, into energy efficiency and what have you, he should be thrown out of office. Absolutely. And I think that this is the issue. The American people have got to learn what the issues are and hold our national leaders to leading. And this hasn't happened, unfortunately, because there's this huge disconnect. I mean, you're never going to get this through the mainstream media, unfortunately, because I think the only thing more corrupt than Washington is the big media, unfortunately. But, and frankly, I think that's true. But I think that the American people need to understand that we have an urgent, if not emergent, situation with energy and the environment and many other issues that have been neglected by all sides, but have been, the rate of damage has been compounded enormously in the last 4 years.
I think in terms of energy, and you will agree, what has happened in the energy field is abominable.
It's very corrupt.
It is surrounded by greed. I mean, here we are in Iraq now, controlling Iraqi oil fields,
right,
and the price of oil is out of control.
And sitting in a black box at Lockheed Skunk Works, folks I know who've worked on them are energy and propulsion devices that could completely replace all oil, gas, and coal in the world. And our poor guys are over there dying. You know, a friend of Jeb Bush, who's supported what we're doing and is one of a financier kind of guy, told me in February of 2003, I think I shared this with Art Bell once, maybe off the air, I'm not sure, but in February of 2003 said, you know, we're not going to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And I was stunned. I said, what do you mean? I mean, that was conventional wisdom all sides of the aisle and internationally. He says, oh, no, that's not what this is about. We've got to free up the second largest proven oil reserve in the world because with China industrializing and India industrializing at 10 and 15% a year, they're all in the commodities markets, and there's not going to be enough of it, and we're going to be looking at $60 and $100 a barrel oil. And I laughed because at that time it was in the 20s. And he says, no, this is really what it's about. He says, but we can't say that.
Well, it wasn't just
that. What a tragedy when we have the solution locked away in these
I agree, but it wasn't just that. It was a double whammy. I mean, there's no question we needed and wanted to take over those oil fields. And at the same time, by getting Saddam out, it was a double thing. You take care of two things, and that's what they did. Now, you know, back about a year and a half ago when you were on with me in January, you were talking about you were very close to finding the holy grail of alternative energy.
Well, we saw it demonstrated, that's for sure.
What happened to it? Where's the machine?
Well, first the guy, it's interesting, some corporate and legal people intercepted this guy the day before, 2 days before. We had a private jet fired up to go and retrieve him and the technology, which was offshore, and bring it back here. And they threatened to put him in jail and had all kinds of things if he didn't stop cooperating with us to get it out. It was the most mobbed up mess you've ever seen. I mean, you could write a whole book about it, but it's almost an archetype of the kind of crazy mess that has surrounded this whole new energy issue. I mean, anyone who's worked in this for any length of time, and you know my dear friend Gene Maloff.
I was just going to ask you about that. A murder that still has gone unsolved, I think.
Yes, sir. And, well, I'm almost reluctant to share this, you know, because I'm not sure.
You might as well. You've shared everything else.
Well, no, I haven't. Man, I haven't touched 10% of what I could tell you. We'd be here all night. Look, a man who has one of these devices very similar to the one that we saw offshore and that we're still working to get this inventor back to the United States to get it completed, working with us, had given the plans and had all the materials for it, and they were in Gene Maloff's vehicle when he was murdered, and when they secured the crime scene, those things were gone.
They're gone.
Now, I'm now working with this man. We're encouraging him to get these in multiple secure sites. Gene did not have the security around what he was doing that we have, and which I don't talk about in a lot of detail except to say it's extensive and it's an insider-type level of security. But it worried me when this man sent us this letter saying that had happened. And, of course, his plans and what he's working on is very robust, in my opinion. We're hoping in the next 60 days that one will be completed and we'll be able to evaluate it. And there's a very exciting new development on the West Coast with a man who used to work in the Apollo project, not with my uncle, but knew of him, who had developed a means of collecting magnetic field sort of resonance. It's a type of over-unity process. And they already have a prototype built putting over 100 kilowatts of free energy out. And this is a very significant development. We hope in the next 30 days to do a site inspection and to assist in moving quickly this technology out, because this is the type of technology that could completely replace the power grid and eventually could be miniaturized for providing power for vehicles.
I got to tell you, Steve, there would be such a difference if we could just get away from relying on foreign oil.
Yes, if we could just save that much, we would be in we could say, you know, look, you guys, the sheiks over in the Middle East, you can have your oil.
Yep, just take it. Goodbye. You know, enjoy yourself and be done with it.
You bet. I think that this is, and everyone recognizes that this is a critical issue. You know, we're expanding. The CIA and some other operatives have been expanding our reach into Azerbaijan and some of the former Soviet republics, securing oil fields. They're working heavily to try to have a rapprochement with Libya, mainly because they need to get more of that oil off out to the market. And since we've sort of had that rapprochement, there's a thrust of big U.S. oil companies into Libya. Everyone knows this is a problem, and it's a crisis that is more severe than anyone is really acknowledging, because they don't want people to be, quote, afraid. But, you know, even the Saudi government this week said that the U.S. has been greatly exaggerating the extent to their of the Saudi oil reserves, and it is significantly less than we have been told. So this is something that, you know, we have 6 billion people on this planet who want to live like you and I do. You know, Dr. Bearden, who's a dear friend of mine, and I've talked about this. He says, you know, everyone wants to have cars and refrigeration.
And that's the problem. They're starting to catch up to where we were, let's say, 20, 30 years ago, and they're beginning to use resources that we never thought they'd be using, and now everybody on this planet is using
it. You know, I met with a man in Washington who is working. His business partner is the wealthiest man in China, and they are building 1,500 new villages. They are trying to figure out how to power them up without absolutely gobbling up all the commodities and causing a crisis. And so we had a long talk. He says, you know, as soon as you can identify something like this that is legitimate, he says, we need to know about it, because this is a desperate situation that is not just U.S., but it's a worldwide problem.
When we come back, Stephen, tell us how close we might be to a real zero-point energy machine and get it out there on the market.
Sign up for Streamlink at www.coasttocoastam.com. And you can hear tonight's show over and over and over. Premier Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You heard the old saying, the rich get rich and the poor get poor. Sometimes that could very well be the case with some of these big multinational corporations as they continue to squeeze. Be back in a moment with Dr. Stephen Greer right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Dr. Stephen Greer. Stephen, I think if Nikola Tesla were still alive, we might have this free energy somewhere out there, don't
well,
you think?
Well, of course. When Nikola Tesla was alive, he had, I'm quite certain, one of these systems. And it was not allowed out then. You know, Dr. Bearden and I put together materials and all the way back to the 20s, literally, where people had enormously important electromagnetic system breakthroughs that could have, back then, replaced the need for oil and fossil fuels. But, of course, you can't meter it. And I think it was J.P. Morgan that said, well, I don't want anything you can't put a meter on and charge for.
Exactly, exactly.
So, you know, we have the world of our own creation, either by benign neglect or lack of courage or lack of leadership or whatever it is, or just good old-fashioned human greed. But we're at the point now in our civilization's evolution that we're going to have to confront these issues. And unfortunately, we're the generation that's had this hot potato finally land in our lap, and we're going to have to deal with it.
If world economies hinge on, let's say, the source of income from energy, would we as a world still be prepared to pay money for it, maybe the same kind of money we're paying now, if it were just simply an alternative fuel? Or do you think it really should be almost free?
Well, it will be free in the sense that the device itself, for example, the ones that we have seen, like the one that we saw about a year and a half ago that got hijacked, that we're still trying to get back on track and back into this country, that was one that we literally could pick up, take out, put on a sidewalk, and operate. It was running hundreds of watts of power from running real utilities such as fans and stereos and light bulbs or what have you. Now, obviously, there's no power to meter, but the device itself, of course, would sell for something. But the enormous multi-trillion-dollar supply line of fuel, as it were, or generated power that's been distributed from power plants, yes, that would become redundant and unnecessary. But I remind people that, computers have replaced typewriters, cars replaced horse and buggies. It is a big issue, but it's not insurmountable. I think that it's a matter of people deciding that this has to happen and wisely phasing it in. Unfortunately, now this is how I look at it. A lot of people say, God, the stuff you talk about is very futuristic. I said, no, it's not. This is stuff that should have been disclosed in the 50s when I was born. And, in fact, we're about a half a century off the natural evolutionary trajectory that our civilization should have taken. And that's why we're now seeing so much damage in the environment, so much unrest in our civilization. And this kind of chaos and madness, if you will, is only going to get worse until we finally accept the fact that this kind of serious change has to be managed well, managed wisely, introduced compassionately, and done in a way that is as least disruptive as possible. But you see, the longer we wait, the less likely it will be that we can have an easy transition. I think at this point, the easy is gone. It's going to either be hard or catastrophic. And we have to choose if we want to fritter away more of our time as to whether we want it to end up being catastrophic. So the longer we wait, the more difficult it will be. And by the way, you've asked this question of why so many of these folks have come forward. They know that these covert projects, many of these military and corporate people, are sitting on these sorts of technologies. And I had one man who's old enough to be my father or grandfather say, I honestly thought this would have all been out to the public and disclosed in the 60s. And I looked at him.
And working, probably.
Yes, and as each decade went by, he became more and more appalled that we were still digging this big hole that we found ourselves in with the oil wars and everything else. So it is a serious issue, and it's not mythological that these technologies have existed. There's strong scientific documents and data related to it. And people have always said, well, how did you get from UFOs to energy? I said, well, the one of the central reasons for the secrecy around UFOs is because the energy and propulsion systems behind them are obviously not using fossil fuels or nuclear power. They're using entirely new and revolutionary areas of physics that would create a rose garden of a world on this planet if we could use them peacefully. And see, this is where I think ultimately it is a serious spiritual crisis for humanity, because these technologies are going to have to be used peacefully, and or they're going to be destructive like any other new technology. And yet, if we don't let them out, we're going to destroy ourselves with the current technologies. So we're in a situation where, one way or another, we as a people are going to have to decide to choose to live together in peace and put together the international means to have an enforceable peace. Unfortunately, I think for some time it's going to be the peace of chained dogs.
Well, what's going to happen?
So much of humanity wants to rip each other's throats out over the most silly things.
It's going to be a worldwide calamity that gets us all back together. That's the sad part. You know, today
humans don't learn too easily, do they?
You know, today, I'm not a proponent of vaccines. You know, people, I've gotten some emails from people who say, if a friend of mine dies because of what you've said about a vaccine, I'm going to come get you. And you know, I keep saying, wait a minute, I haven't told one person not to get a shot.
Right.
Not one. I tell people I don't get one.
Right.
I don't get a flu shot, and you can't get one now anyway if you want
to. Right, if you wanted
but
it, yeah.
But they said today, some experts said that they project 1 billion people on this planet could die because of the flu. And I'm looking at that and saying, that's 1/6 of the world's population.
Right.
That can't be. There's got to be some sinister force out there that wants to remove a billion people from this planet, because I can't see the flu doing it. I don't believe it.
Well, the number I've actually heard is 4 billion. But and this gets into some things that most people don't want us to go into.
Again. Now, let's stick to energy and UFOs still.
Okay, but the fact is that, you know, there are folks who have agendas that are really crazy. I mean, they're sort of end-of-the-world, eschatological, kooky things. And there are some people who feel like, gee, you know, unless we have something like that happen, we won't have Christ return on a flying saucer or whatever it is. So the problem is that there is a nexus of misperceptions and, if you can use the word ignorance or what have you, and superstitions that have gotten us into the current situation. It's only going to be through a degree of knowledge and enlightenment and reason and
tragedy.
Genuine, in my opinion, genuine spirituality as opposed to religiosity, because what I have found is that there's an inverse relationship between religiosity and spirituality, unfortunately.
Do you believe in end times?
Well, I think that, you know, every day is an end time. I mean, I think we are in a cycle. Here's what I think. I think that we're at the end of a very long cycle in human evolution and an opening of another. So when people say, oh, it's the end of the world, well, it's the end of one era of our civilization and the opening of another whole period.
I believe that. I agree with that.
And that's where we are. And we're at this critical sort of fulcrum, this point where it's all tipping. And we have to, as it were, sort of the midwives, if you will, of this sort of new baby that's coming forward, which I think is going to be a civilization, as I see it, that will exist for hundreds of thousands of years peacefully, and that we really will go out into space and we will become a truly enlightened people on this planet over the next thousands of years. But we're also the generation that are the custodians of sort of putting to bed this old time that's gasping and trying to die. So we have to do both with compassion. And I know I'm using some medical analogies here, but I'm a doctor. What can I do? But I think that we have to look at it that way, and we have to, with wisdom and some compassion and love, see how to let the one go out as quietly as possible. It's not going to be too quiet, but also not take our eye off the ball. You know, with all the stuff that people talk about that's very fearsome and all the horrible things going on, what I see, and this is the vision I see, are technologies and knowledge coming together where this earth really could be so beautiful, where there would be no want and poverty and no pollution and a sustainable civilization that could stretch thousands of years into the future and go out into space with these technologies. You know, Ben Rich, the head of Lockheed Skunk Works, told us before he died that we already had locked away in super secret projects at Lockheed technologies that would take us amongst the stars faster than the speed of light. But he said, you know, it would take an act of God to bring them out to benefit humanity. And he said it with great sadness. So now what I see is that eventually will happen. And we're the generation that at the one hand or kind of have one foot in this old time that's sort of dying. You can call it the end time in that sense. But also we have a foot and our vision is stretching over to this other time that's really we're moving towards very quickly. And it's really unfolding like a flower all around us in many, many ways. So I have a very long-term optimistic view of this. But I also am not Pollyanna about it. I think people have to pull together, work together, and try to make this happen. Because it isn't going to happen magically. It's going to happen by people doing the hard work together.
Well, you know, before you fix the road, you're going to lose some tires in those potholes.
And, yeah, that's right.
And that's what's going to
so
happen to us.
We've lost tires, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think there's many more to occur with that.
Very much so.
You know, people are concerned really about a couple things, Stephen, when it comes to energy, and that is their homes.
Yes.
And their cars,
right.
And both of which, to me, would seem to be very easy to fix. I mean, I think we can go to some alternative fuel for a car. They're just holding back on that. And I also see the day, I hope, where every home will have its own self-contained unit, don't you?
Well, the ones that we have seen literally could do that. In fact, now the one that we're going to be pursuing very quickly here that is putting out over 100 kilowatts is too large for a home. But it could be scaled down so you could have a home-sized unit so that every home would have its own power source. You wouldn't have transmission lines that are so ugly.
Where would you put it? In the back of the house or something like that? Outside?
The system is different. This particular system could actually be in your basement and wouldn't have to be connected to the outdoor environment at all. It's really quite robust. Others that I've seen would have to be somehow connected to the outdoors. There are different types, but the solutions are there and they're coming. SEAS power.com is our corporate website, and I encourage anyone who's an inventor out there who believes they have a significant breakthrough to contact us, because I will do everything in my power once we test and replicate a system and prove that it's legitimate to bring it out. And, people say, well, won't you be threatened? I said, well, I've been threatened for 14 years. And I said, they're going to have to take me out in a coffin, quite frankly, to get me to stop doing what I'm doing. But, and I mean that, and everyone who knows me knows I'm sincere in that regard. So anyone who has this should approach us through the corporate website, which is SEAS power.com. But, you know, the car and the propulsion systems for cars, you can have power packs based on these same type of technologies that will be quite adequate, where forget a replacement fuel, you won't have any fuel at all, and it will run the car.
What works on? Is it like a magnet, or what happens?
Basically, well, there are various approaches, you know, and if you look at, you know, Dr. Bearden is so brilliant. He has a book out that came out last year that's about 1,000 pages called Energy from the Vacuum. I highly recommend it to people who want to get into this seriously. But there are some 18 or 19 different ways to extract this free energy from the quantum vacuum or zero-point energy mm-hmm. field that have happened over the years. Unfortunately, most of those systems either get confiscated, they're lost to posterity, the inventors are either assassinated or threatened.
Are they bought off in some cases?
Most of them are bought off. I mean, I have spoken to a man. I have a witness who had his whole career with Bell Labs. And he said that while he was there, there were 28 or 29 of these really advanced systems from just civilian inventors that his corporation had bought up and put on a black shelf.
Just give them a check and they're done.
Yeah. And, of course, this has been going on for a long time. And if they are approached and told, sort of hinted at the sort of reprisals and threats if they don't cooperate, and the enormous wealth they'll have if they agree to sell out and let it be shelved. Now, what I'm telling inventors is that don't do that.
That's tempting for them, isn't it?
Of course it's tempting, and I know guys who have done it, quite frankly. Personally know guys who have done it. Now, what I've said to people is that, you know, if someone offered me $100 billion, I'd show them the door and say, I'm not interested. We're interested in getting this information.
Oh, you wouldn't take a check for $100 billion, Stephen?
No, I would not.
You're one of the last ones, Sam.
I absolutely would not.
I wonder how many people
would... voice analyzer
on my... Yeah, let's put the voice analyzer on you, right?
Absolutely not. Hook me up to a lie detector. No amount of money and no amount of threats. And, I told a major news anchor with one of the big networks when I was talking to him about that. He says, you know, if you get one of these and it's been vetted by some of your university contacts, I'll have you on the show. And he says, but, you know, you might... the government might hit you with one of these orders, national security orders, saying don't do it. I said, oh, yeah? Well, be prepared for me to tear it up in front of however many million people you get watching the show. I will tear it up.
What will it take to really get this alternative energy up and running in homes, in cars, ready to go?
Well, I think there's a whole nexus of problems. First of all, you have to have a legitimate system that is built that hasn't disappeared or been what I call the Humpty Dumpty syndrome, where it's fallen apart and you can't get it. So once we find one like that where the inventor is willing to go the distance and cooperate or at least hand it off and get it out to the public, the first thing we have to do is get it scientifically replicated at multiple settings where it's proven, where the scientific and the financial and the mass media understand that this is not a hoax or snake oil. You've got to do your due diligence. You've got to be scientific. Once that's done, our intention is to do a massive disclosure of the technology. I mean, that would make the disclosure project of 2001 look like a rounding error, and we will do that. And so the public knows it exists, and then put it into a rapid R&D cycle to get it perfected and out to the public. I'm working with a company now that has done very high-tech and quick turnarounds, where within 6 to 9 months they can take a prototype and get it to where it's being churned out by the thousands or even millions of units. So this is doable, but you first have to have a legitimate system, get the bugs out of it, get it independently vetted and reproducible so that there's no question that it's legitimate, and then you can move it over into these stages where it's out to the public. But long before they would be sold to the public, we would want to have the public informed. I mean, if I'm welcome back on this show, I'd come back on your show having already had you come out and seen it operate yourself. I'd get on ABC, I'd get whatever, and say, look, the people need to know there is light at the end of the tunnel, and here's the proof of it. So far, we have not gotten anything that I feel is robust enough to put out in front of the mass public in that way. But we think it is not that far off. There are some very promising technologies we're looking at this fall, and I'm cautiously optimistic that that'll happen. I would like to that it happened already, but I can't control all those things. There are a lot of things that have interfered with that progress. But ultimately, I think the strongest way to make sure these technologies are known is once you have them secured and replicated in safe places, is to have millions and millions of people around the world know it exists, because the government at that point, or these covert groups, will not be able to suppress it. Once people know it exists, they're going to want to have it.
Absolutely.
The marketplace. You know what? Alan Greenspan's right-hand economist told me back a few years ago when we were talking about this. That she said, you know, Dr. Greer, the market will take care of it. If you can get it out there and get it proven, it will simply go at that point. But, you know, getting to that point is difficult. Usually these systems get intercepted before they get mass a public awareness around them. And so what we want to do is quickly go from its identification and verification scientifically to massive public awareness. And, you know, your listeners, I think, would be key in doing that, because with the Internet and radio and other things, the information can circle the globe very quickly.
How did disclosure evolve from the UFO cover-up to zero-point energy and energy? How did that transition occur?
I was following the new energy area because it involves, of course, the UFO issue. And when 9/11 happened, I made a phone call to, of course, my wife and to my daughter who was in D.C. to try to get her out of the city. And the third call was to my military advisor and my science advisor. And I basically talked to them and I said, you know what? This is the sign. We're going to have to move into the energy area, because that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that it's sort of a chilling thing, but that's literally the conversation I had on 9/11. And within a month, we had formed Seize, power.com, and we have been, and of course, looking diligently in testing systems since then, because we knew that the secrecy behind the UFOs was largely, not totally, I mean, there were religious and other reasons, but largely centered around economics and geopolitical power and energy. And that we had just gone too far down the path of keeping these things secret. And our group said, look, now we've got to move into this direction.
All right, stay with us, Stephen. We're going to come right back for one more hour. We'll open up the phone lines to give you an opportunity to talk with Dr. Stephen Greer. And also, one thing I want to ask you, Stephen, when we come back, because you might know, so many people are reporting seeing this huge triangular-shaped object. They're all over the place. Many of them are near military bases. I want to get your take on that. I've never been able to ask you that. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with you and Dr. Stephen Greer right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.